Market Music with Fairbairn and Russell. Hello and welcome to podcast number two from Market Musings with Fairbairn and Russell. This is the second one. Our first one was last week, and we are quite pleased. We got some pretty nice comments on Twitter from various people, which is always nice to see when you're getting some nice feedback. We've also already had a couple of direct messages of people reaching out to us who would be keen to actually come on the podcast to join us in our musings, or as industry experts in a specific area, which is excellent, actually.
Yeah, it's great news. Yep.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah, and we've set up a Twitter page, or Kenny set up a Twitter page for us.
Yeah, so the Twitter page, for those that have not already followed us, is at Market Musing, and it's called Fairbairn and Russell. I must admit, I was quite nervous last weekend, Mark, when this went out, because I wasn't really sure what kind of response to get. Now, obviously, I've done a podcast before on my own for Metal Energy a few months back, and it was pretty well received, but you never know how these things are going to turn out, so it was good. I mean, I had quite a few DMs from investors, people that I know, said it was really good, and they were looking forward to the second one. And even old Doc gave us a few positive comments as well. So,
yeah,
all good. No negative comments that I could see. So, yeah, we're really, really happy how it went.
Yeah, it's nice to see that. So, so hopefully we can continue to please. I would hope. So how's your week been, Kenny? What have you been up to?
Yeah, just working away as usual. Couple of interesting RNSs out. The one that kind of caught my eye, obviously, because we'd been talking about Thor last week, probably too long, actually. Yeah. Probably 15 minutes we talked about Thor. They had an RNS out with news of the Bonya drilling results. Now, they were pretty decent, as have most of the drilling results from Bonya and Molly Hill. But I don't really think the market picked up in what they're up to at Bonya. So it's a bigger picture at Molly Hill and Bonya is that Molly Hill is the main asset. It's quite remote. I think it's about 200 kilometres north of Alice Springs. So it's got about a 7 or 8 year mine life. Now, to make the finances a lot better for Molly Hill, they've got to put more years onto that mine life, and the way they're doing that is using these sort of satellite deposits that they've got at Bonya. Now, Bonya is about 40 kilometres east of Molly Hill. Mm-hmm. So the idea for Thor is that they've picked a couple of these deposits. So there's 13 in total, or these satellite deposits. They've picked two, they're drilling them. I imagine they're going to get a jork in each of them. And all of a sudden, the economics of the project will look a lot better, because instead of having a 7 or 8 year mine life at Molly Hill, they can they've got these satellite deposits that they can ship in and increase the mine life. Now, when you actually look at the figures, the 13 satellite deposits are near enough, or the target is near enough the same size as Molly Hill. So in theory, they could double the length of the mine if they prove up all these satellite deposits.
So all the satellite ones you're saying are almost in total the same size as Molly Hill alone?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So you see why they're doing it. Obviously, the market is not overly fussed about it, but it's a means to an end. If they can get, all of a sudden the mine life of Molly Hill is up to 10 years, then it's much more attractive for an off-taker to come in and put up the finance. So I think it's just really watch this space. And obviously with Thor, we've still got gold results pending as well. So, yeah, I'll be keeping
you've got the other two.
I'll be keeping a close eye on Thor over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, indeed. Yep. Okay. Well, yeah, it's good that came out, and we spoke about it last week. The only thing really that caught my eye this week on the markets was with Sirius Minerals. I don't know if you know much about them, but they're basically a polyhalite, or also known as potash, which is fertilizer. It's used in food production, in agriculture. And I live very close to them, so I'm quite sort of close to my heart. It's up in the North Yorkshire Moors National Park. and it was quite significant when they granted planning permission for a mine there in the national park. But it's about maybe half an hour, 40 minutes from where I live. And basically this week they had an offer from Anglo American.
All right. Okay.
Which, you know, on the face of it would say, oh, that's great, the company's got an offer. But when you look at the history of Sirius, it's been around since about 2003. It found this deposit quite a few years later. I think I got involved in it in maybe 2014, something like that, and it was around 6 pence. When they'd realised what they discovered, and I rode the share price up to about 18 pence, and I think at that point I decided that's a decent return. I was not as naive as I was when I first started investing, so I sold out with a decent profit there. And I watched it over the years, you know, dwindle up and down. And I think the high was about 45p. And at that point, I wasn't really interested anymore because I thought it's either too expensive or, you know, I tend to go for the penny stocks anyways. Yeah. It wasn't really my thing. But I was watching it in case it came back down. And it has. And although they've had, you know, everything's been generally good, I think when you actually have to build a mine, it is very expensive. And originally they were hoping to have mineral out the ground in 2021, so next year. Well, that's been delayed now by at least a couple of years, I think. And they were trying to raise 600 million. The market cap is, I think, 250, 300 million, something like that. And they were going to raise it through issue of bonds. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it fell through. So, of course, the share price suffered pretty significantly. And it was hovering, I don't know, it was sort of around 20 pence, something like that, 15. And I was watching it coming back down, thinking this might be interesting to get in again. And it came all down to about 2.5 pence. And I was saying to sort of my friends and family who are also interested, you know, it's a good buy, that, because, you know, it's a solid project. It should get government support. You know, this sort of talk of a northern powerhouse. I think it's a great project to get involved with. But now, obviously, Anglo have come in and made an offer of 5.5. The share price has risen to 5.5, or actually 5.3. So I think now the situation, I would say, is Anglo have got a fantastic deal on that, because they picked it up pretty cheap.
Yeah.
But actually, as an investor, and if you did buy it, when I was sort of telling my brother to buy it like 2.5, then that's all right. You don't know, you'd have more than doubled your money, which is decent. But to buy now, I don't know. I don't see it doing much more than that bid price. And it's still a risk, because it's only an offer. It's still got to go through all the process of that. It could fall through. And if it does fall through, unfortunately, you know, they still need this 600 million. And I think, if they don't raise it, that is administration pretty soon in sort of April time, I understand. So I think, for now, it's probably not something to get in. It's a kind of, let's watch and see what happens with this Anglo bid. And if it does fall through, maybe the government would step in and fund it, and you could maybe buy in on that. But it is a risky business, you know, but it'd be a real shame, I think, if it didn't go through, because it's a huge project and it would bring a hell of a lot to
the area,
to the region. Yeah. And also, they've already started building it in the national park. And this is why I think it can't fail, but it's not really a good thing to say. But if they've started building it, are they just going to abandon it? You know, that would look terrible. So, yeah, I don't know. I think if Anglo go through with it, which they probably will do, because they've got a bargain there, then Anglo do very well. But unfortunately, I'd say for existing shareholders, you know, who were buying at sort of maybe 20p, 45p, then it's not looking that great, really. But it comes down to then, doesn't it, of like recognising the risks in things, recognising where a share price has gone from and to, and deciding whether how the risk looks to you. And as I say, I was in at 6, I sold at 18. And even at 45p, when things were looking really rosy, I didn't get in, because I just thought, you know, it's come such a long way, and there's still that inherent risk of them not actually being able to build it. So yeah, that's the only thing I noticed this week. But I'm not sure did much else happen.
The only thing that really caught my eye was Panther Metals. They moved from the next exchange to the main market, I think, last Thursday. In fact, I seen a nice picture on Twitter, I think, of the guys all. They were all at LSE for the opening bell, if you want to call it that. So,
Yeah, Darren looked. He looked very, very pleased, didn't he? He looked very satisfied, I thought, in that picture.
Yeah, definitely.
Very, very happy chappy. And actually, speaking of Darren Hazelwood, he is lucky enough, or unlucky enough, perhaps, depending on which way where you look at it, to be our first guest on the podcast, our first CEO guest, and we will have him on very soon. And when we get CEOs on. on the podcast, we're not going to interview them. You know, we're not going to grill them. It's not like that. I think the plan is to really to get to know them, talk about them and their history, where they've come from, and just get to know them really. We've got a little game that we're going to give each CEO, and there'll be a leaderboard, but we'll leave that surprise until we actually do it. And we'll also give them 60 seconds to do a company pitch. So they will get a chance to pitch their company, but really we're not going to grill them on it. It's more about them.
Yeah, I think a lot of these podcasts that we've heard in the past, you don't really hear the real person behind the CEO. They're just answering questions that have been set up for them, and it's a bit robotic, so you don't actually get to hear anything about them, what they've done in the past, what motivates them, what interests them. You know, what's their drive? You know, so it'd be nice just to get to hear about the person rather than just about the company. I'm not saying we won't talk about the company. I'm sure we will talk about the company.
I'm sure we will. Yeah.
But I would say, you know, 2/3 it's going to be about them, what they've done in the past. And I mean, I know Dan, so he has got quite an interesting past. So it'll be good to hear. And
but getting to know the CEO as well is, I think, very important as well as an investor, you know, to know where they've come from, to learn about them. You know, you can make your own mind up whether you feel they're an honest and trustworthy CEO, which I think is imperative in investing.
Yeah.
Because there's some CEOs out there who you would steer well clear of if you sort of knew what they got up to.
We can say this: Panther's definitely not a lifestyle company. I mean, I know that from a fact. They're certainly not paying themselves a fortune. So yeah, it'll be good to get them on, and I think it's also pretty good that we can draw comparisons with Metal Energy. Now, obviously, they moved from the Next Exchange probably about 6 months ago, and they've just went from strength to strength. Liquidity's been great, and they've really been motoring probably since about November. So it'd be good to see if Panther could do the same, and then you'd probably find there'll be a few other companies as well making that jump.
Yeah, but this is a question I have. So the Next Exchange, it's a separate exchange, isn't it? That's just it's not as liquid. Is that the problem with it?
Yeah, I mean there's quite a lot of companies on it, and there's some decent companies on there with quite large market caps, but there's just no liquidity. The spread is huge in some of these companies as well. So, I mean, if the spread is five, you know, the bid's at five and the ask's at eight, if you're paying full price, you know, you're down an absolute fortune as soon as you've bought it.
Yeah, as soon as you've bought, yeah.
So there's not enough market makers. That's the problem. You look at some of these Next Exchange stocks and there's only two market makers, so they can't make a realistic market. So it's a dangerous game. Most of the time you've got to trade over the phone. Some of the brokers allow you to buy online, but only small amounts, so nobody wants to deal on the phone anymore. Everybody wants to do everything online, so
online and quickly and easily.
So
was the Next set up as like an alternative sort of market then?
Yeah, the Next Exchange mark was previously called the ISDX. I think it was sort of marketed as AIM's little brother. The Next Exchange has tried to carry that on, but they've just not been able to make that leap.
But there was a lot of talk that they were going to challenge AIM, but it's just never materialised.
No.
So
that's what I thought. It was a challenger to AIM, isn't it? But it'd be interesting to see how that exchange does actually develop, because as you say, you've got Metal NRG that's moved over and has seen vast improvements since they moved over, and Panther Metals moved over on Thursday. Darren's very excited about that. You know, now he's excited to build the business. So it does seem like maybe it's a bit of a stumbling block to be on that exchange. So it's really good when companies do move over and they're able to then get the finance they need, and investors can engage, you know, with them, and they can go on and build their business.
Yeah, I'm sure when Dan comes in the next couple of weeks, he can can probably explain more about the problems that they had in the next exchange. So it's I'm looking forward to that. So
right, well, we've got probably 5 minutes left, Kenny. We were 36 minutes or so last time, which I think was probably a little bit too long. So we're trying to keep these to about 20 minutes. But it does go quite quick, doesn't it? When we're talking,
it didn't seem like 36 minutes last week. It just flew in. So, but yeah, we understand it. I mean, 36 minutes is quite a long time for people to listen to. So I think 15 to 20 minutes is the
limit.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
Yep.
So I think just to finish off, maybe a little bit about us too, because there was a question that came in on Twitter, basically asking someone to know a little bit about our history and also why we went for the Smith & Jones image. And I think it's important to know, you know, who we are, you know, from a personal level. As we were talking about CEOs earlier, it's good to know their personality. So, I mean, from my point of view, I'm 31. As I mentioned last week, I've been investing since about 2013, but I have a full-time job, 9-to-5 job. I work for a training company. I've done that for nearly 10 years, and my role is in video production or multimedia production, basically. So I'll be creating e-learning material, training videos, graphic design, this kind of stuff. So when it comes to these podcasts, I can use my media skills when I'm to record and then cut the podcast together. And what about you, Kenny?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm a tad older than you, Mark, so I'm 47, and I actually started off my working life as a quantity surveyor, of all things. Lasted 3 or 4 years in that, and moved into electronics, and basically I've been in the electronics industry ever since. Last 8 years, I was working as a submarine simulator engineer in one of the naval bases in the country, so that was a really interesting job. Really enjoyed it, but in May I just decided that it was time for a change of direction, and I left that job, and I'm now working full time in various projects, including this one, of course. So yeah, I'm keeping busy, but that's my history, basically.
Okay, and it was you that chose the Smith & Jones idea. What was your thinking behind that?
Yeah, well, most of the guys that do podcasts and Twitter have got a sort of theme behind them. So I just thought that's something different, something from my childhood or youth that stuck out. And obviously, for those that are the same age as myself, not 9 o'clock news was one of the best programs that was on the TV. And Mel Smith and Griffith Jones done this sketch called The Last Smith and Jones, and it spun off into a whole series. And it's just two guys sitting across a table, bouncing off each other, telling funny stories, and it just seemed perfect for what we are trying to do. So
we're the two funny guys, are we?
Well, we can work on that. So we can. I mean, maybe need to have we can have a few beers, I think, the next time, and that might get a few.
Maybe we do. Yeah. Maybe we do. Yeah. I personally haven't seen it, being younger, and, so maybe some people in my age won't know what it is. But yeah, it's effectively two guys sat around the table, isn't it? Which is what we're doing, really. Just having a chat, and maybe we will get funny. Maybe
we can work on that. But anyway, yeah, I think we're just about, that's 20 minutes now, Mark. So
I think that's pretty good. So well, that was good. Next week, hopefully, we will have Darren Hazelwood on from Panther Metals. So we look forward to welcoming him. But thank you again for listening, and see you next time.
Yep, thanks, Mark. Cheers.